Got a request for a Tamar Halacha Shir from dear Talmud from Baruch Shalom Abitan. He asked that we discuss eavesdropping in Halacha, meaning can you listen in on someone else's conversation? You're walking by, two people are talking. Is there, you know, sometimes people just like to do so because they're curious. Sometimes parents like to listen in on kids' conversations because they're concerned about who their kid is talking to and what they're saying and what they're talking about. Or just sometimes you're like at a party or at a wedding or something and you're innocently, you know, sitting by the sushi bar just listening to the conversation going on next to you. Or picking up an extension of a phone and your sister or brother is on the phone and you want to hear what they're talking about. Or government wiretapping, or nanny cams—all of these different types of eavesdropping. These, you know, people do these kinds of things all the time. So, does the concept even exist in halacha of some sort of violation in listening to someone else's conversations? There is a tshuva from the Mizrahi in Simin Ches where he writes, "Ve'ein taina me'ashmiya sheshomen zelazeh." You can't have any tainas in someone who overhears something. To lo ashkechan bekula talmuda hezek ki agavna. In all of Shas, we never find that that's called damaging by listening to someone's conversation. So we see shmiya is not something we're worried about. Hearing someone's conversation is not a problem. Having said that, it could be that there are several problems with overhearing someone's conversations. Let's go through the issues. The most major issue that Poskim would talk about this discuss is the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. The Rabbeinu Gershom, who died in the year 1040, made a Cherem, many Charamim. He made a Cherem on people who violate a variety of different things. He made it famously, if someone divorces his wife, Bal Karcha, against her will when she's not willing to receive again, or someone marries two wives, there's a Cherem against that. And he made a Cherem against reading somebody else's mail. So maybe part of that cherem is not just reading someone else's private written correspondence, but listening to someone's private verbal correspondence may also be part of that cherem. Now it's important to realize not all the elements of the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom are exactly the same. Some of them were only for his generation, some were for all generations. Some of them were only in Ashkenaz, in Germany, in that area. Others were for all places. Some of them are there to protect Dinei Torah. Others have nothing to do with Dinei Torah. They're just about general good of society. For example, marrying two wives, Rav Spitz in Mishpatei HaTorah points out, says marrying two wives, that was made ad sof ha'elef ha'chamishi l'briya solom. Rabbeinu Gershom put in the cherem that it's only until the end of the fifth millennia for the ad sof ha'elef ha'chamishi l'briya solom, and then the cherem runs out. The Ramban, Eben Ezra, says we still don't marry two wives. We sort of, the Ashkenazim, have accepted to extend the cherem, but Sephardim never accepted to extend the cherem. And in many Sephardic countries, people married more than one wife. And, you know, Ada Yom Hazeh, people married more than one wife. But the Dr. Moshe is clear that it wasn't a siyag l'Torah, and therefore, if we have a case of a suffix, we could be makel on cases of suffix for that. The Sephardim never accepted that cherem. Another example, not to divorce a woman against her will. That was a cherem that was instituted forever and ever. That was supposed to be forever and everywhere as a protection for the Torah, as a way to protect the din of the Torah. The Chassam Sofer explains this way, and therefore it's treated like a cherem d'oraisa. And in the case of a suffix, you'd have to be machmir in that cherem. It's a totally different level of cherem, even though they're all part of what Rabbeinu Gershom put into place. What about reading someone else's mail? So that was a cherem that was made without any time constraint, and it was accepted everywhere as a siyag against isurim d'oraisa. How does this protect you against isurim d'oraisa? It protects you against lashon hara and rechilus and all these kinds of things that you're going to damage other people's sensitive information. So don't get access to other people's sensitive information. Don't open their inbox and their email. Don't read other people's mail. And that was a cherem. Rabbeinu Gershom just put a little force behind it and made it a little more severe by making it a cherem. But it's there to protect normal Dinei Torah. Why do we have a cherem on reading someone else's mail? So in the Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos Chelgalav Sim Reishayin Vav, he says that it would lead to rechilus and it would lead you to revealing secrets, which is a form of rechilus. In the Tshuvas Toras Chaim Chelgimel Sim Mem Zayin, he says that it's a violation of borrowing without permission. When you take a letter that's intended for someone else and you read it without permission, you're borrowing that letter without permission, and someone who's Shalosh Midas is a ganav. And the Tshuvas Chelgalav says it's based on V'Haftol L'Re'acha Kamocha. Why can't you read someone else's mail? Because that's a really not nice thing to do, and you're supposed to be a nice person. You're not supposed to be You're not supposed to be a bad guy. So don't be a bad guy. So don't read someone else's mail. It's just that simple in terms of basic v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. How severe is a cheirim? Once we make something as more than just basic v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, Rabbeinu Gershom says you're in cheirim for it. So Chubas HaRashba in Chelodalas and Resh Sadivav says chayiv misa. Someone who violates a cheirim is chayiv misa. So that's what Rabbeinu Gershom is doing. He's putting some real teeth into it. Not just don't be a bad guy. If you're a bad guy, you're chayiv misa now. When Medrash Tanchuma in Parashat Vayeshev says it's like violating all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah when one violates a cherem. And the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Lamed Hei in Chosh Mishpat says that someone who violates a cherem is pasul eidos. Can't have someone who violates a cherem. Someone who reads other people's mail can't be an aide at your wedding. And you wouldn't be married if such a person was an aide at your wedding. It's a pasul eidos. But there are maybe certain limitations on the cherem. Madane Yom in Chelek Beis and Memvav says that it's only a problem if the letter was written with the abbreviation on the top, Poritz Gedi Yeshchenu Nachash, Pei Gimel Yud Nun Dalet Reish Gimel Mem Hei, Poritz Gedi Yeshchenu Nachash. Otherwise, it means that it's there for everyone to read. I think we assume generally not that way. We assume that you're not allowed to read even if someone doesn't write, whoever writes on the top of their emails or correspondences, Poritz Gedi Yeshchenu Nachash, so we generally assume that it's prohibited anyway. But even without the Chirim Drabin Gashim, there is a concept in halacha called hezek re'iyah. The very beginning of Maseches Babasra talks about building fences between properties, and that each neighbor can force the other to contribute toward building a fence that's 4 amos high. Why 4 amos? Because we assume 4 amos is the height over which you're not going to be able to see. Seeing into someone else's property is an invasion of privacy, and an invasion of privacy is not right. A person should be protected from an invasion of privacy. And the Sma, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, in Shinayin Ches Sivkot and Dalin, the Sma writes that even if you don't actually invade his privacy, the fact that because he's not doing anything private there, the fact that he can't do anything private there because he knows you're always watching or because he knows you might see him, that's also damaging to him, because that means he can't use his property in the way that he otherwise would. So if a guy can't talk freely on the phone because he's worried that you might be picking up the other extension, so that's also a problem. That's even if you're not actually invading his privacy because he knows that you're listening, but that's also a problem, says the Sma. The Meiri at the beginning of Babasa writes that no, the Gemara was very clear that it's all about hezek re'iyah. It's all about what you're going to see. Ein choshen la hezek shmia. We're not worried about what you're going to hear. There's no halacha in the beginning of Bava Basra to build the wall soundproof. It's just to build the wall high enough that you can't see over it. Soundproof you don't require, so it sounds like you don't have to worry about it. But the Miri goes on to say, because reasonable people know to be careful about avoiding embarrassing sounds in their chatzar, because they know that there's no requirement to protect from that. So but the implication is that if you're in a situation where a reasonable person won't know to keep quiet because he doesn't know that you might be listening, he thinks he's in private, so then it would be a violation of some sort to listen in to the conversation. And then there's the issur of rechilus. The Chuvus Halachas Ketanus Chelgal Sim Reisha Invav writes, Nira Shiesh Issur Levakesh Ulechapis Mastorov Shel Chavero, to look in someone's secrets is an issur. What's the difference between whether you violate Rechilus by telling other people about this guy's private confidential information versus you finding out about it? So it's like you told yourself Rechilus. So it's either way, it's the same issue. It's the issue of Rechilus. So these are the three issues: the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, Hezek Re'iyah, and Rechilus, and the broader V'Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. But so it seems that it's definitely wrong to listen into other people's conversations when they're private conversations. But there may be a number of exceptions. The Rashban Chelek Aleph Sim Tav Kuf Nun Zayin writes that Rabbeinu Gershom tried to prevent Isurim by making these Haramim. So if listening in will prevent Isurim, if actually eavesdropping will help prevent an Isur, then it would be mutter. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin of Samach Zayin talks about Beis Din hiding witnesses behind a fence in order to catch someone who's a Mesis, to catch someone who's trying to lead other people to do Avodah Zarah. What do you mean? How could you hide people behind a fence? Isn't that eavesdropping? The guy doesn't know you're listening in on him. Yeah, but we're trying to do something that's for the betterment of society. society and to prevent a guy from causing other people to do avodah zara. So if there's a major toeles, if there's a major benefit that's going to prevent other people from averos, then it would seem to be mutter. In the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah, Rav Spitz writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Beis, he said it's pashut that Rabbeinu Gershom lo asr lahazin l'sichas shnei anashim shemendabrim liado obu ulam shabonim tzahamazin. He says if you're at a wedding, the case we said before, you're sitting at the shmorg at a wedding and there are two people next to you having a conversation loudly, so there's no isser to listen into the conversation. If they wanted it to be private, they wouldn't be having it loudly in a crowded room. Meaning if they're private in their bedroom, they close the door and you just happen to be walking by the bedroom and you're with a cup on the other side of the door or something like that, you know, so that's someone that could expect, a reasonable person could expect privacy in that situation. But if it's a case where a reasonable person shouldn't be able to expect privacy, then there would be no issue. That's what Gemara Brachos Staf Ches Amid Beis tells us. Amar Rabbi Akiva b'shlosha dvarim oev anias hamadiyim. He says that the people from Madai have three very good habits. Number one, k'she yoatzin ein yoatzin ela basada. When they give advice, when they discuss things, when they discuss matters of critical importance, they do it out in the field where there aren't a lot of people around. And they learn it from Vayishlach Yaakov Vayikra l'rachel leah asada el tzono. When Yaakov had to talk about sensitive information involving Lavan and how he was being treated and what the future of their family was going to be, he calls Rachel and Leah out to the Sada, because if he has a conversation in Lavan's house, Lavan is well within his rights to overhear the conversation. The Mishnah Ksuva says that a woman who is a kolonis loses her ksuba. What is a kolonis? This is a Mishnah in the 7th Parak Ksubas. A kolonis is someone who speaks about private confidential matters very loudly that the neighbors are going to hear it. We don't blame the neighbors for hearing it. They're allowed to hear it if you're saying it in a loud way that they should be able to overhear it. We have throughout Chumash, Sara Shoma'as Pesach Ha'oel V'achrav V'rivka Shoma'as B'dvar Yitzchak Aleisav B'no. You have people overhearing things that are going on. Another potential exception, Rav Sturmbach writes in Tshuvas HaHagos Chelek Gimel Siman Shin Pei Ches, that Me'ikar Adin Avid in Ishdin al Nafshei, but Malcolm Sheish said if there's going to be a loss to you, then you're allowed to do what's necessary. But he says if there's a chayrim, so for you to say that I'm allowed to listen in on someone else, I'm allowed to read someone else's stuff because I think it's going to be a loss, he says you shouldn't do that on your own. You should go to a beis din of three people and make sure that you have permission to do it from a beis din to make sure you're judging the case properly. In Tchumen volume 11, Rav Shlomo Duchovsky writes in an article, he suggests that maybe this whole din of not eavesdropping, not listening into other people's conversations, doesn't apply to a spouse. That a person is expected to hold nothing back from their spouse, and therefore a spouse is entitled to all of their spouse's secrets, he suggests. Why? How could he possibly say that? He says, because we all sign on to it in our tanaim at our weddings. It says, va'al yavrichu va'al ya'alimu lo zemizu v'lo zumize ki miyadoru ba'avo b'chiba. They were not going to hold anything back. So if we're agreeing to that, then we're agreeing that we allow our spouse to know everything in our lives. Now that's a tricky thing. That's not so clear. It could be that anything that's nogeya to my spouse is, I happen to be a rabbi, people tell me a lot of personal information that my spouse does not need to know, and that would probably be, people would not be happy if she knew. Am I not allowed to keep those things as a secret from her? I think those things probably I'm supposed to keep as a secret from her. I'm not supposed to tell her everyone who's got an issue in their family or, you know, something ugly going on in their lives or something like that. Probably that's probably not something that she's supposed to know. But at least that's an interesting point, that in the Tanaim it seems like we're sort of signing on for that. So some examples. If parents are worried about a child being negatively influenced, they see their child going down the wrong path and they're worried about a friend influencing them, it could be that in that situation, to prevent isurim, a parent is allowed to eavesdrop to read the kid's texts or whatever. Now certainly if a parent gives a kid a cell phone and tells the kid, listen, I'm going to read all your texts, and tells them Meirosh exactly what it's going to be, then that's not a violation of eavesdropping. That's not a violation of Cherem Darbein. You told them, be careful what you write, because I'm reading it. I have a program that all your texts come to me. So just you know, I'm warning you in advance. That certainly is loud. We're talking about where the person doesn't know that they're being listened in on. So if it's really to save a child from violating Yisurim or whatever, then the parent would be permitted to do it. But again, it's probably wise to exercise a lot of caution on something like that. Concerning like a nanny cam, that's very interesting. Because l'chora it should be aser, meaning unless you have reason for suspicion. If you have reason to suspect that something's going on, so then certainly you're allowed to do it to protect your child. But if you have no reason to suspect, you just think it's cool to have a nanny cam, or you never know, or whatever, and you don't tell her that you're watching everything that she's doing, not so pashut that it's okay. In the Emek HaMishpat, Chelel Gimel Simen Chavavos Dali, he writes that Kan Hamakom Lahatria, he says we should cry about this, that we have this sapachas, this terror b'machaneinu, the yeshnam ha'mazinim l'chavreim b'kol minei scannerim. That's scanners, I guess. That people listen to each other with all sorts of scanners. Machshirei tzayasos va'azonos l'mineihem. Oy al yidei telefonim. They said they managed to listen in. He said machshirei babysitter uchadoma. You know, things that are set up for the babysitter. You should, if you tell them, it's one thing. But if you don't tell them, l'chora, it's not so poshut. The Gemara B'Metzia Daf Chavtes says that somebody who wants to lose his money won't watch over his employees. So I saw in halachically speaking, my friend Rabbi. Rabbi Leibovitz, not to be confused with me, Rabbi Leibovitz, writes that in the name of a Yisrael Pesach fine handler from Lakewood, that nanny cams are fine because you see in the Gemara says that you're supposed to watch over your employees, that if you want to lose all your money, you won't watch over your employees. But one could argue that no, you're supposed to watch over your employees and have the employees know that you're watching them. But to secretly watch over your employees without telling them that you're watching them, maybe is not so pashut. One could argue that in today's day and age, things are so crazy and you hear such horrible stories that maybe the nanny cam is considered necessary even in a standard, regular situation, but it's at least a discussion that should be had. It's an interesting halachic discussion to be had, whether that is an ethical thing to do and whether it applies to Gayim. It probably depends on what the reason for the cherem is. If it's v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, it probably doesn't apply to Gayim. If it's about being gonev, borrowing without permission, if that's what the cherem is about, like it's a form of gneva of some sort, then that would apply to Gayim. So again, it's at least an interesting halachic debate. Okay.